Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. Favorite beauty podcast in the entire world. It's Fat Mascara, and I, as always, am still Jen.
Still Jess.
Welcome, guys. Let's talk, Jess.
We've got a lot to talk about this week. We're going to recap the VMA's best beauty looks. Then we're going to talk about what happens to all those beauty product bottles once you're through with them. And then we're going to talk about the French Prez. He is under fire for blowing the beauty budget.
Ooh, our guest this week is Sharon Durham, celebrity colorist extraordinaire. It'd probably be easier to say who isn't her client than who is. She's done Julia Roberts, Meg Ryan, all the gorgeous blondes, the men. She'll do the list for you, so stay tuned for that. But beforehand, let's get into the week, shall we?
So Jen, you know that it is the end of the summer and like the start of the school year when the VMAs come on.
It's
I always feel
true.
Like I'm like a kid again.
Yeah.
But you know, I try to get in like all of my end of summer like kicks before I get this like kind of the clock is ticking, the sense that like the summer is over. This weekend, I had a little bit of a relaxation weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Got some ice cream. Went to the beach.
Summertime.
Yeah, I just kind of really chilled out. What did you do?
Little family barbecue.
See?
In fact, I have to call out my family members. They all get annoyed because I talk about my mom, but not them. So hi to my dad, Frank. And then
Frank.
My second cousin, Ricky. He's like, if I talk about a beauty product, will you mention me? So he's really happy with his new Mitchum deodorant.
Oh, nice.
So call out to them.
Nice.
But let's really talk about the VMAs, shall we?
Okay, well, I'm gonna bring a little bit about the beach atmosphere back because
oh.
I'm still
I was at a barbecue, you were at the beach, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to have like a hot dog flavored candle here. Oh, that's disgusting. We have a nice Nest Ocean Mist and Sea Salt. Thank you, Nest, for scenting the podcast today.
Yeah, and that just still gets in chill mode. It keeps us in summer mode.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm just kind of relaxing, thinking about the VMAs, thinking about the mishaps and the beauty, I guess, beauty
wins.
What
was the highlight like for you, even if it was a mishap?
For me? Okay, so well, I'll start with the positive. I'm just going to go real positive. I don't want to be a hater, as the kids say. I like the Olivia Munn oxblood lip. Did you see her?
Yes, Patrick Ta did her makeup, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah, it looked good.
I'm in fast with the credit information.
I know. Can you believe I knew that?
I know. I like that.
It was good. I'm not going to lie.
And I like that she did more of like a bare lip and the oxblood. A bare eye and oxblood lip. I have to say I was not a fan of Katy Perry's look with the short hair. Like it was a crazy, messy pixie,
right?
Like hot blonde,
right?
Then she had big fat lashes,
yeah,
and a smoky eye. I swear to God, I did a double take. I thought it was Sharon Stone.
It's so funny that you say that because there's this beauty tip that I've always heard that when you have the right hair color, you need less makeup, right? Because like hair color makes your skin look better and everything. And I feel like on her, that particular hair color, maybe it's the shape of the cut, she needs more makeup to compensate, or at least her makeup artist seemed to think so. It was a harsh look.
The haircut, it was so harsh. And like Katy Perry, she's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
She can do anything. We've seen her, like my favorite Katy Perry look of all time is when she had that kind of like Priscilla Presley look a few years ago. She looked like she was like 22 there. Here she looked like she was 62.
It aged her.
Do you watch Odd Mom Out? The best show on television right now. She looked like Joanna Cassidy.
Everything you said in the last sentence, I don't understand, but sure.
Anyone who watches Odd Mom Out, give me a shout out because we can like tweet about it. We can live tweet together during the show. It's the funniest freaking show on television.
No, I think her makeup, and it was also that heavy lash. This was one of my, I guess it's a mishap or whatever. I feel like a lot of people think red carpet, strip lashes, and they get these heavy black snuffleupagus strip lashes.
Totally.
And it just weighs down the eye. It's a heavy look. You look... the shadow it casts, you need more concealer to compensate, and then that gets all creasy. And a lot of the women had on those big black lashes, and it doesn't look fresh.
It's not fresh.
Jinx.
How do you make all these gorgeous 20-something-year-old women look like old as hell? It looked like they should be playing bingo.
I know how. Put a heavy strip lash on them.
There you go.
So that was a mishap for me. Positive side for me, I feel like this pink eye shade color is not going anywhere. And it was done well by some people. Katy had the pink on and it was like too much. Mm. But Lorde had on like a soft pastel pink wash.
Saw
it was
that.
Really pretty. And then even Vanessa Hudgens, but it was more like a hot pink kind of thing. But it wasn't bad. I just thought it was interesting. Like 2 years ago, you would never have a pink on your eye. And I'm still seeing pink everywhere on the
eyes. Nicki Minaj. So
speaking of pink.
Yeah, that, like, I know we're not a fashion podcast. I'm going to withhold comment on everything below
latex,
the neck.
Pink.
Yeah,
okay.
Everything below
Pepto
the neck.
Pink.
But the hair, yeah, she did a two-tone Pepto pink hair. It definitely was, you know, I feel like maybe, like, am I not being fun? Like, I wasn't really into the two-tone pink. I admired the creativity, but I just didn't think it was flattering. Like, Nicki Minaj is cool in a lot of ways, but I felt like it was just kind of... like, what else can we do with color?
It was just for the sake of
grasping.
Being like, we'll talk about her, but look, it worked. We're talking about her.
But I didn't like it. And I certainly hope that this is not going to be some kind of trend. Like, you know, we saw rainbow hair. And now is this going to be like two-tone?
It was one half of her head.
Yeah, it looked like a Disney villain.
Ends.
Yeah, it was like a Disney villain. I was not feeling it.
Any other comments before we move on to the rest of the
Yeah. I thought, you know, maybe she was like sophisticated for the venue, but that Millie Bobby Brown, she looked so I thought really, really chic.
Reminded me. The outfit was good too.
The outfit was fantastic.
And there's short hair done well that actually makes you look younger.
Yes. She looked completely
feathery, soft. It wasn't like helmety and hard.
It was sleek. I mean, it was a side part. It was a very sleek.
But it has texture still. It's not like a little block sitting on her head. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it definitely had, it wasn't like a block, but it was sleek. It was chic. I love the deep side part. And even though she's young, it still looked sophisticated. And I don't have short hair right now, but it made me want to have short hair. And her eye makeup was great, just like a soft gray. I thought she was like the best dressed person there.
All right, I'll give it to you.
So, and best made up. So, curious to hear actually what our friends at Pop Fashion might have to think about this. So I will be tuning in this week.
It's not easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves. When I think it might be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
So if you guys follow us on Instagram, at Fat Mascara, great. If you don't, go follow now. We recently got to go with the company Unilever out to Brooklyn. We were learning about some new products, which we'll tell you about soon. But a big part of the initiative they were doing was to educate us, the beauty editors, so we could educate you, the beauty consumers, about recycling and sustainability. Part of it was we painted a mural on a wall using a calcium-rich paint that actually sucks CO2 from the air, which I thought was super
cool. That was amazing. We were on, like, you know, we were in Williamsburg painting this wall, and it was just, like, literally absorbing all the CO2 from the passing cars.
Let's be honest. The mural was painted when we got there.
We definitely helped out.
I tagged it Fat Mascara too. We got to go back and take a picture.
Me too. Wait, P.S. Can we just let the viewers, let the audience, let the listeners know some brands that Unilever does?
Oh yeah, sure.
They do Dove.
Yes.
They do Axe.
Vaseline.
They do Vaseline.
Simple skincare.
Tresemme. Nexxus.
Okay.
I mean, the list
it's
goes
a big
on.
Company. And if you think about all of those brands, it might make you think about all the bottles and the packaging that they come in. And the beauty industry is notoriously, you know, packaging heavy, if you will. Like, everything comes in a carton or a plastic thing or whatever. And they shared some facts about recycling that blew my mind. So the one I just want to talk about before we talk about beauty products, I love how we all go to the blue bin and we're like, I recycled, and we throw our little plastic thing in there. Turns out only 31% of PET plastic in the United States actually gets recycled.
Wait, what is PET plastic?
Oh, Jess, you didn't know about polyethylene terephthalate? It's basically any plastic bottle for, like, a consumer good is usually made out of PET. It's a polymer resin. It's what we think of as plastic, water bottles, shampoo bottles, things like that. So yeah, maybe you have 100 bottles of that a year. You throw them mostly into the recycling, hopefully. Only 31% of those get recycled.
Do you know that 6 billion pounds of plastic didn't get recycled last year, and that weighs more than the whole population of Texas?
It blows my mind.
Just think about that. Just take a minute. You can pause the podcast. Think about that.
Also, let's think about Texas while we're thinking.
I know. I mean,
my heart goes out to them.
I know. Yeah, if you're listening and you live in Texas or have family, we're sorry, and our heart goes out.
God, it's turning into a downer segment. Let's not make okay. But there are things you can do. So first of all, when I say 31% of it doesn't get recycled, part of it's on the consumer, because some people will be like, okay, it's in my bathroom, and you throw it away in the bathroom trash and don't think to put it in the kitchen trash with the recycling. So that's part of this percentage. Yeah. But the thing that we learned that blew our minds was recycling companies are for profit in the United States. So they're only going to recycle if they can make money off of selling the reused plastic to other companies. So they're not going to spend $20 per bottle trying to, like, recycle it. So what happens is a lot of things with labels or with weird caps or whatever, if they can't get that label off or they can't get it through their processing facility on one round, they're not going to spend more money trying to take the label off. So a lot of the recycling companies our stuff gets shipped to end up throwing a lot of it in the landfill anyway. So that really pissed me off, because I feel like when I put something into the blue bin, like, I am a goddess. I just saved, you know, the earth. But it's not necessarily true.
But this shouldn't discourage us from recycling or anyone.
But we
listening.
Did learn we can help make it more profitable for the companies. Remember what I learned?
Keep going.
About the emptying? I didn't know this.
Right. So what you can do is, well, first, let's go back to the plastic and the paper for a second.
Yeah.
Try to take the paper off if you can.
Labels, yes.
So, yeah. So they go to the recycling thing, and they submerge in these really hot baths, and they try to get the paper off. If they can't get it off, tough noogies, it doesn't get recycled. But if you can take the paper off first,
sure.
Let's try to do that. But second, yes. One thing we can do to help beauty companies, or just basically help this whole recycling, this complex recycling situation is, let's say you're half done with your shampoo, you don't like it anymore, or, you know, or moisturizer, or whatever it is, don't just dump it in the recycling bin. Empty it out, pour it down the drain, and then put it in the recycling bin, because however, the heavier the recycling load is, the more energy it's going to cost and the more, like, you know, horrible emissions it's going to produce.
Your carbon footprint gets bigger.
Exactly.
Not only that, it costs the company more money, so that might be a reason for them to throw it in the landfill anyway, because they're not making money if they have a big, heavy load of a truck coming there.
Right, because it's going to cost more gas.
I did not know that. I never emptied my bottles, but I will now.
You've got to empty those bottles. You've got to empty those bottles. Cannot emphasize it enough. Now, something that I thought was kind of cool that I don't know if you saw this, but Jane Larkworthy on the Coveture recently, she talked about doing how she does a clothing swap with, like, her really good friends every year. She's doing beauty swaps with them.
Which we've talked about how online they'll do it with strangers. Still skeeves me up. But yeah, why aren't we doing that with our friends?
Yeah, and she was, you know, she immediately talked about the elephant in the room. She was like, she's not suggesting your mascara, your, like, super invasive.
Let's be honest,
invasive.
That's not adding to a ton of plastic in landfills anyway.
But the shampoo you tried that you're not into, the fragrance that, like, wasn't for you after the, you know, third time. She does these swaps, and I thought that was really neat, because most of this stuff is going to go in the garbage, especially, like, you know, I mean, you and I work in the business, so we're trying a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. But I have lots of friends who are like, you know, I've been looking at the same perfume bottle for 3 years that I know that they're just not using.
Right. Beauty swaps.
So that's one cool way to do
it. All good tips.
Yeah, and we'll link to that article on the blog. You can also return any cosmetics, like, bottle within reason to Origins. They have a program called Return to Origins. Some other stores like MAC, Kiehl's, they will take your products back, their empties back, if you're not sure what to do with them.
Right, like if it's like a glass jar with a plastic lid, or you don't know if your community mm-hmm. recycles that particular thing, bring it in. Sometimes you get a discount too, or, you know, you can put it towards a new product. But, I mean, they're easy little steps, and you're like, oh, it doesn't really help. But the stats we learned about, like, that tiny little bit of thing that you did by emptying your bottle, the amount of carbon emissions it, like, takes out if everybody does that is insane. So,
yeah, and I think your behavior will influence your friends and, you know, just people watching you.
All right, so we expect all Fat Mascara listeners to get on board.
Yes.
One day, we're gonna live in Paris. I promise, I'm on it.
Jessica, Jessica, we talk French, la la la. That was actually pretty French, wasn't it?
That was pretty good.
I'm just bringing us over to Europe for a second, because I know our next segment is about French President Macron.
Macron.
What's going on with him this week?
Hold on.
We sound like the little crab from Little Mermaid.
I'm sorry.
All right, so here's the news, right?
Yes.
We just found out that his first 3 months in office, his makeup budget.
Just over 100 days.
Right?
That's not
How much
French
did
accent.
The man spend on makeup artist services?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
$30,700.
$30,700 on makeup in about 100 days.
Yes.
Okay. So at first, this blew my mind for two reasons. One, that's some serious cash. Those are some serious euros going on over there.
Yeah.
Two, it's a man.
Well, his representatives, Jen, I think we need to give this man the benefit of the doubt.
No, go ahead.
His representative said the spending was the result of a, quote, emergency, close quote, situation, and that the future makeup costs would drop significantly.
Okay, also, when they say makeup costs, this isn't like he's buying a bunch of Chanel powder. This is makeup artist services. So let's not forget, you know, people in politics can't get stuff for free, so he's going to have to pay for it. If you're getting a makeup artist to do your makeup every day, it could be $300 a day. You know, your day rate.
I would think that, like, I mean, some makeup artists
are way more.
Are way, way more.
But he must have, like, a groomer because he's a man.
Yeah, he's not calling Glam Squad. It's definitely, like, somebody a tier above.
Can you imagine if Glam Squad went to, like, Macron?
Oh, my God.
And I don't actually know where the French president lives. Not 10 Downing. That's
London.
God, I sound like an idiot.
I think you know, well, we've seen it. We've seen it. Like, I remember on a press trip, they drove by and they said that's where at the time it was Sarkozy. But at the same time, I think that it's somebody a step above Glam Squad. They're not wearing a black T-shirt. They're not. It's not Priv. but I don't think it's like, you know, Sir John coming every day.
But I know a lot of people are listening right now. Why does he even need makeup at all? And when I was thinking about talking about this with you, I thought of an example. This is going to get super nerdy. Okay, you remember the famous Nixon debate? I was not around for it, but I've read about it in retrospect at being a beauty editor. A lot of people said he lost a television debate because he didn't have a makeup artist. Because it was the first time, like, there was, like,
oh,
color.
Oh, yes!
And, like,
and he, yes, social studies class.
Yeah.
I remember this. Yes,
I think it was from, like, a communications class or something. Uh-huh. So the man was all sweaty, as one is, in front of camera lights, but he didn't have powder. He was shiny, and he looked dishonest because he was all red in the face. Like, you know what someone looks like when they just look smarmy or whatever.
Right.
It was obviously the lights, and he just didn't look good on TV. And you think, oh, a man doesn't need me. Yeah.
And it was It was one of the first times that it was, like, you know,
televised.
Right.
I think it was what it was. So,
Technicolor.
Point being, and I see this too, even our president, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, someone should take down the redness a little. I'm listen, you know what? Women, I don't feel bad about saying this. People will judge women all the time about how they look on television. So I think that we can judge the men too. And I, listen, I'm not going to be paying attention to you and your words if I'm looking at your little rosacea flare-up. Sorry. It's true. So if you're thinking that the French president should just not have makeup at all, I beg to differ.
I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, men are living in the same kind of appearance-focused world as well. But I do think he definitely needs to reassess the budget. I'm not a French citizen, but I would be PO'd.
Maybe he should get the Glam Squad. We're here with Sharon Duram, like Duran Duran, but Duram. She's a celebrity colorist at Sharon Duram Color at Sally Hershberger Salon and newly appointed color director at Virtue, which we'll hear about too. But before we even get into that, welcome to Fat Mascara. Oh,
thank you. So fun to be here.
So fun in our little studio in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. In the middle of August.
In the middle of August, I know. We'll talk about summer too and what it does to your hair. But first, I want to hear a little bit about your clients, because I didn't even want to try and list some of them because there are so many that have big names. But who have you worked with over the years? Just give our listeners, like, a taste of some of the people whose color you've done.
The first celebrity I ever worked with was Barbara Streisand. And
that's go bigger.
That was really the start.
That seems intimidating.
That was an introduction to dealing with, you know, flashy, high studded celebrities that are very demanding.
Yeah.
And from there, I worked with Julia Roberts and Meg Ryan and Nicole Kidman every 6 weeks, Kate Hudson, Kate Winslet, Uma Thurman.
Now you see why
Renee
I didn't.
Zellweger.
Yeah, I didn't try and list
but
them.
But you know what? It all was over course of years and time, and just sort of built this reputation word of mouth, not very much so in the magazine. I mean, of course, got written up in the magazines, but really it was word of mouth. So Tom Cruise told Brad Pitt, Kevin Kline, you know, one after another.
Did you do Brad's hair?
Yeah, I've worked
like
with
Legends
Brad.
Of Fall Blonde.
That was the time I did his hair.
Oh yes. My God, we are satisfied.
You could go home, Sharon.
Yeah, wow,
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's the best brand. I mean, how did you, I feel like Barbara Streisand? I mean, I don't know her personally, but like she seems so demanding. How did you get in her? How did she get in
amazing.
Your chair without?
She was never in my chair. I was always in her house.
Oh, of course.
It was one of those situations, and she was, you know, she raised the bar for me, and I was really at the start of my career, and you know, didn't know. I wasn't in that world of celebrity, so it was a real eye-opener, and she was amazing.
What do you mean it was an eye-opener?
Well, like, because I'm really, she raised the bar, so to speak. It was, we worked strand for strand. We would take a mirror and go room to room, and she was directing the entire time. you know. And amongst all those celebrities I've worked with, Annie Leibovitz and Nora Ephron and Jane Rosenthal and a lot of the other lesser, you know, not in front of the camera, people behind the camera, but there was Streisand just bringing out the most perfection possible. And after working with her, you could work with anyone. Ed Norton was another one, just like Barbara Streisand.
He's a strand for strand guy?
Yeah, my goodness, yes.
He doesn't have that much hair.
I know.
That makes it even harder.
That's hilarious.
I know. I worked with him for, they called me, it was pouring rain. I had just finished Julia Roberts. I'll never forget it. They said, Ed Norton's on the phone. I didn't know who he was. My assistant said, the Ed Norton. And I said, okay, he can come in. I wasn't going anywhere. It was pouring rain. And they were shooting him for a Vanity Fair cover. And he had had some bad botched hair color. And I think it may have been Brad Pitt or somebody who told him about me. And that's how he got to me.
Maybe on Fight Club, they were chatting hair, chatting color.
I don't remember exactly how it went, but it was like that 13th hour, can you fix it? Because we're shooting tomorrow. So we spent, it was a Streisand moment where we were going strand for strand. And I could keep up with his, you know, for every demanding moment, I could keep up with it. And anyway, the long short of that story was the Vanity Fair cover came out. And it was in black and white.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's very funny.
It's funny.
Are all celebrities like this or no?
No.
I think that's got to be exhausting.
It could be.
So would you say that Barbara, Babs, and Ed Norton were the top? They were among the most particular. I don't want to say
absolutely.
Difficult, but most perfectionistic.
Yeah.
Okay. What color are you the proudest of?
Who you've done over the years.
Oh, my gosh. I really loved working with Nicole Kidman when she was that strawberry blonde. But I did do Demi Moore ages ago for a cover of Esquire, and she was dark, and we took her really light. Hmm. And it evolved, and we did layer after layer after layer, and that was really a work of art. But, I mean, you wouldn't even be able to find it anymore because it was before.
When you say layer after layer, like meaning you had to take her lighter in, like, steps.
In steps. And
how
it was
long
just
did that take?
It was half a day probably. Jeez. I mean, we just kept going back in the ring and back in the ring. And she has great hair, could take it. And it was as dark as your hair, Jen.
She's pointing at me, yes.
Yes.
When you do that, is it like it comes out and it's not light enough so you go back for more, or you plan to do it that way so it's healthier?
In hers, it's both, to answer your question. But it's you have to keep working it and working it till it arrives at that stage where you say, okay, we're good. It's perfection. And it's really working it. For me, it's always about my statement, my signature on someone's head. So I wouldn't say it's over until it's perfect.
Do you have a signature? Like, is there, or is it, do you mean just like you feel like it's you? Like,
No, I definitely,
what is the Sharon signature?
I have been told people get stopped, whether they're shopping up, because my salon is uptown and large number of the clients are uptown, but they come from all over. They're downtown, they're uptown, they're out of the city. They fly from LA, they come from Canada, they come from all over. Dubai, I mean, we have clients from everywhere. But I've been told they've been stopped in restaurants, which I never believed people do. But then when I'm in the ladies' room and I hear women talking about their hair color, mm-hmm. I realize women really do this. And they've been asked, or at the counter at Bergdorf's, does Sharon do your color?
Oh.
So it's funny to me. You know, it is. All of us at the top of our field, we do have a signature, whether it's a hairstylist or hair colorist. When you really arrive at a certain level of your craft, we have a signature. So yeah.
But what is yours?
I'm known for vibrant color that's very natural, but it's dynamic. It can't be too natural or we're yawning. It has to have a certain punch, you know.
It's very multi-tonal, too.
Yeah,
looking at your blonde, it's like, I don't know, there's like 60 colors of blonde in there.
This is like my assistant, me telling my assistant directing how to do
it. Very natural
color.
Looking.
Thank you. But it has to have, if it's too natural, it's like, why bother? Then stay natural, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. I imagine this, as you said, takes a lot of time. Like, what's the weirdest place you've done someone's hair? Like, do you go on movie sets ever?
I used to do that a lot.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know. When we shot with Julia down in South Carolina, I think it was, or it was one of those areas where there's Borgum.
Okay, now in my head it's Steel Magnolias. I'm just going to pick a movie for every story
so
you tell.
But working with her in the trailer down there, I think it was South Carolina. And at one point that was fun. Bridget Jones's Diary for Renee, and literally did an out and a back round trip literally got off the plane, went to do her color, got back on the plane and flew home.
To London, you mean?
Yeah, to London, exactly.
But that color couldn't look too expensive, though, right? Because she just had to be your average gal.
She was.
That's so interesting.
She was, yeah, she plays. It's great that you know that. She played the average gal. But I used to have to say to Renee, it's not a manicure. You can't come get your highlights once a week. She'd be in my chair once a week just to, like, tweak.
Why couldn't she? Just for health of her hair?
Her hair.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, maybe it was therapy, but but no, it's not like a manicure where
That's
we change
colors.
That's
so
funny. Yeah.
So is there any hair color request that you won't comply with, or do you feel like the customer is always right? If they say, I want to, you know, I'm jet black and I want to go hot pink, are you okay?
No. I really feel like if someone's going to come see me and sit in my chair and they do want to do the jet black to bright pink, I'll tell them, don't waste your time and your money with me because you can get it done for a fraction of the cost. It's not something I would really specialize in and that I really do, and go someplace, you know, East Village, and they'll do it better. I mean, I'm not going to do it as well as they do because they do it. They have more demand for that. We don't have the big demand for that. So that's not what I
I don't see a lot of that in your salon.
Yeah, how do you feel about the whole, like, weird colors that don't look natural?
I think it's so fun.
But it's not your thing.
I'll do it. It's really, if there's a demand for it, I think it's really creative and it's really fun. And I started out in art school and, you know, so that's my background. But they're really, truly speaking, if I have a young girl in my chair and she wants something really wild and crazy, I probably would recommend her to go somewhere where she could get it done for a fraction of the cost and save her, you know, hopefully they don't ruin her hair a long way. But there are times that people sit there and they show me pictures of what they want, or they say they want a certain celebrity's hair, but there's no connecting link between their hair and their complexion and their eye color and that celebrity that they're envisioning that they look like.
What's that mistake that you feel like you have to fix? Like somebody went and they got, you know, they went blonde, but they look like, I don't know. I mean, I was about to say me. I don't know if even that's the best example. What's the thing that people do where it's like, they're doing this again?
Yeah, no, I think some of the biggest mistakes people do, they either go too dark and it's really shoe polishy and it looks severe and it's wrong for the individual, or they go too light and it washes them out, or they're too solid. Solid is really probably my biggest pet peeve.
Too solid.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, can you translate that for the average person?
Yeah, that is one dense color if you're a blonde, particularly with blondes or people who lighten their hair. If there's no
dimension. It's not blonde, it's yellow.
Yeah, like that canary yellow.
Yeah.
It's so unattractive. But mostly it's just too much buildup of highlight upon highlight upon highlight. And that can happen many times from working with the balayage with hair painting. And there's no dimension to the color. So for me, that is probably my pet peeve because I love dimension. I love when there's dark undertones. Even if it's a dark blonde with a baby blonde on top, it doesn't mean that it has to be brown. But it's just that you need to, if you look at children's hair and what looks great on a child and what looks sexy on us as women, as we get older, it's not that flat monotone color. Very rarely does that monotone blonde look fantastic. I mean, unless it's platinum.
So does this mean you never do like a single process?
We do single process all the time.
Okay, but it has to look multi-tonal
right.
to it. So what's
it's
the trick
more,
to that?
It's much more interesting. Although that said, I love, and I think this is beautiful for fall, a brunette that takes their brown base 2-3 shades lighter, just ever so subtly, and it just warms up the brown and it gives them a glow and it's one tone, that's gorgeous.
I
love that.
Is it that sometimes the hair color that's beneath is coming through, so even though you're using a single process, it still ends up multiple?
They'll always be different natural highlights put in there. But my big, like I said before, my big pet peeve is when someone's lightening their hair and they bleach their hair out and it looks that sort of dry, sort of all over helmet head of color. It's just not
helmet, that's a good word.
Do you think their intentions were good, though? Like, they were going for that kind of Carolyn Bessette kind of look, and then it just, they either didn't know what they were doing, or they couldn't do the upkeep, or they went someplace bad.
I think it's so important for people to communicate with their stylist, their colorist, and bring visuals, because visuals speak a thousand words. You say a word, you say the word ashy, you say the word brassy, and it can be misconstrued. So, yeah, I think I never blame the client per se if they've gone in. It's like going to your dentist and your dentist does something to your teeth. You're so vulnerable. You don't know. Mm-hmm. You trust them. And same thing with your colorist.
You've also signed on now with a line called Virtue. And you're their color director. What is Virtue and what do you do as color director?
Okay. So we've just really testing the waters. We're just beginning. Mm-hmm. They're an amazing new company. Mm-hmm. The founder, Melissa Chabon, owned Frederick Fekkai at one point, Strivectin. She's so knowledgeable in product. She's come out with this line of hair care that is based on, the technology is based on a protein they used in the military to heal wounds. And it's in all their products. So it's very, very exciting. And I got samples of it last December and didn't pay attention to it and then started using it and saw firsthand the results of my hair and how different it's made my hair feel. And everyone who uses it, we brought it into the salon now. And clients are coming back 6-8 weeks later loving it. So we're just starting to play around with hair color, with what ways to enhance hair color so that it will cover gray better, mm-hmm. so that it give your hair a better shine, make your hair color last longer, all of these things.
Does it strengthen the hair?
It strengthens the hair because it's actual keratin protein. It's amazing.
I thought it was just because they had a color safe or color protecting shampoo and conditioner. And I'm like, what can you really do? It's great, but you're just the face of it. But you're sort of dabbling into what more can we do with this technology?
Yes.
Do you think they would do a color line eventually?
Maybe. I don't know.
You're
if
playing with the pure,
the essence of what is in all of these products, and it's amazing. I've used it as a treatment. I've used it in different ways. Just playing around with it, seeing results.
So, but speaking of that sort of like aftercare, what do you call it when you're at home and taking care of your color?
It's your maintenance.
Color maintenance. I feel like there are so many products that are marketed now towards color maintenance that don't actually have color in them. I'm talking about the color protectors and the color sprays for sun. Like, do they really make a difference? Like, would my colors know if I went home and used Prel shampoo for 4 weeks?
Probably. The Prel shampoo.
No offense to Prel.
No, but any really strong shampoo like that, and that's a strong shampoo, that we recommend that when your color's heavy and you want to lift it out, I'll say to people, go home and wash it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a
strong. So if you get that inky look then like you were talking about, a Prel will sort of like fade it
baby
quicker?
Baby shampoo, believe it or not, Johnson & Johnson.
Really? Baby shampoo?
Yeah.
I didn't realize
it's
it was
really
so
harsh. Strong. Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Is that safe for baby?
I don't know, but it's one of the stronger ones. But I think that there are some products that are out there that are amazing that really do protect your hair. When it comes to the sun, I'm very simple about it. I think you can take a Johnson & Johnson's cream baby oil, which is one of my favorites, and just lather that in your hair because it'll condition your hair, as well as use something like a Shuyamura that they make that oil de essence, I think it's called. It's really great. And I use it when I swim to protect my hair color.
Mm-hmm.
But Kerastase has made a whole line of
the pink line, right?
Yeah, that line is completely meant for the sun. And Fido has forever had that Fido Plage oil for the sun. They work, but probably you can take coconut oil and save yourself.
Or Johnson's baby cream oil.
Cream baby oil. I mean, I found that stuff is amazing because it doesn't make your hair greasy. And I use it in my hair if I was swimming in chlorine pool underneath a swim cap. And it really protects your hair color.
So it's more just like sealing off the hair color so that all that stuff can't get into the strand.
It's a barrier. Putting a barrier between the sun, the water, the ocean. Now, ocean is always a little good. Ocean does nice things to hair color. Salt water, natural
salt. It does nice things?
Not for yours, Jess. No,
I would
never
put
your hair in the sun and in the ocean because it would lighten it too much. But
I spent the day at the beach. Is that why it looks so light?
It's pretty.
Up on top, actually, it does let your roots look lighter to me.
I know.
Maybe you didn't have a hat on, bad beauty editor.
I didn't bring a hat. Mm. I know.
Wait, that makes sense for if you're in the sun, but what about like in the shower? Do you need the shampoo and conditioner that are the color protecting that cost maybe a little bit more than a regular shampoo and conditioner?
It does depend on the product. I mean, I don't think that many of them, I'm not a fan of color enhancing shampoos because, for instance, in Jess's case, if you were to get
red hair,
if you take it may turn it pink, like a pinky red, which
really
not. Yeah, so you have to stay away from many of these shampoos that are color, for
depositing sort of. Yeah,
yeah. Even that ashy, the purple shampoo for blondes can dull your hair completely. Can take a beautiful blonde and make it go flat.
Wow, you're the first person to say that.
No, it's good for a double process blonde when they want to kill the yellow out and they want to just. You can do that once a week. That's fine. It will neutralize that yellow tint, or someone who's got gray hair and is in the sun, it turns yellow. But if you take a blonde that's heavily highlighted and their hair is very porous and they shampoo with a purple shampoo, it can make those beautiful highlights that pop go flat, all monotone.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
What about those platinum blondes? We've gotten so many emails from girls that went platinum with this whole platinum trend,
yes,
and then just fight every day to keep it ashy platinum.
Then you can use that type of a shampoo, a very mild. I would actually tell them to, if you dilute it, mix it with a regular shampoo and test the waters. You know, do one shampoo.
Like Clairol Shimmer Lights, half of that with half of like a regular shampoo.
Yeah, mix it up.
That's
just don't use it all at once, because you could, hair, when it's been over processed like that and bleached and bleached and bleached, it is a sponge. It's a sponge to the shampoo. It's a sponge to minerals in your water.
Yeah.
That's like probably one of the very biggest things I fight, is when clients come in and I see they leave me looking beautiful and bright, whether they're a blonde or a brunette, even a redhead, and then they come back and there's a residue all over their hair. And it's one of the biggest culprits.
It's the minerals from the water.
Yeah.
But what can like the average person do about that? I don't have one of those doohickeys on my
thing. The doohickey is what you need.
On my thing. I don't want to put a doohickey on my
thing. Take vinegar. Just take vinegar.
And just like table vinegar?
Table vinegar, like clear vinegar.
Like a white vinegar.
Yes.
Okay.
Take a white
vinegar. Balsamic.
Not balsamic.
Just
nothing dark.
For anyone who may have thought that.
Yeah, but on your hair it might be good. Take apple cider vinegar.
Okay, apple cider vinegar.
And just rinse it, literally, and that will help lift up any mineral deposit.
How much? Because I really need to be told how much. Like,
take a quarter cup with your long hair and just rinse it. I would take it and I would comb it through and then rinse
cool.
it out.
Yeah. Wow. So what,
and
back
it works.
To me, what can I do at the end of the summer? What can people do to get their hair color back in shape?
If it's gotten like lighter. Lighter is what usually happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been like pounding the city streets, but like lots of people have been like out like baking in the sun, swimming.
Yeah.
But I even feel just from the sun, just from like going to and from work, that my color's been lighter from the sun.
Yeah, well, reds go very quickly.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
They're kind of fickle and they lighten up very easily.
Really
quickly. They do, but over time it won't. As you build up the color in your hair, it'll hold, it'll get stronger.
Oh, it's like a muscle.
It's like a muscle.
That's so cool.
The more you use it. No, but semi-permanent deposits and in your hair, that's all you should have.
Okay.
Is a semi-permanent rinse. And so you get a glaze, you get a gloss put in for 2-3 minutes. It'll enrichen the color, and then it lasts for another 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Cool. Would a colorist get annoyed if you came back and just didn't want to pay for your whole full set again, but knew you needed a zhuzh, and you were just like, can you just glaze or gloss
me?
And would they charge you less than your regular?
I don't charge at all. My clients come back.
First.
You know, client is a client to
right.
me. And I'm not nickel and diming. There's like nothing worse than going to the dry cleaner, and they tell you, the belt on your trench coat costs this much, the buttons are going to cost this much. It's annoying. If you're a client to a busy colorist, or any colorist, and they value you. If you're out in the sun and you're in their chair every 6 weeks, 8 weeks even, and you come in and say, I just need a rinse, they should sit you at the sink and they should run it through.
Semi-permanent glaze, this may be a really like silly question, but does that give you any gray coverage, or is it just kind of like diffuse?
If it's left in on the root area where there's gray, yes, it'll cover your gray.
That's great.
Yeah.
I just thought of something. Why don't any salons do like a gym membership, like $300 a month for the year? And then
I guess
maybe people would take advantage, but it depends on the color.
That's a clever idea.
Should we start that business, Sharon?
That's a clever idea. Yeah.
Okay, let's get on that.
Yeah.
Tell Virtue. See if they want to back us. Okay, enough about you, Jess. I have a personal question now. Okay, so I have this streak of white hair, and I do someday want to go all gray. And we keep talking
about
your
gray
streak. We've
had the whole
aging theme this month, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll be ready to go there soon. I'm still a little salt and peppery. What do you advise your clients who are like, I think I can do the gray, but I want to grow it out gracefully?
Mm-hmm.
All I've ever heard is like, you have to cut it off.
No.
What do you think
someone
should do?
This is a big topic, because I have women that have been doing fully covering their grays, and they get to a point where they don't want to do it every 3 weeks, 3 weeks. It's a tricky grow out process, but it can be done. So you gradually grow out, like in your situation, you have the one streak, and let's say somebody else might allow the gray to come around the hairline, start to allow it to blend, and then you low light. And we, in other words, there's highlights, we lift the salt and pepper, we lift the brown. In your situation, you'd be low lighting, putting back more of the pepper into the gray areas, letting the gray come through, and then low lighting back, so you're not...
All the way to the scalp?
Right to the root, so that it looks like it's growing from your scalp, and it's blending in wherever you've had.
So instead of an
process,
inch of like light gray white roots, I'd have like speckly salt and pepper roots. And then as that inch grows longer.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
meticulous.
It is. It's a tricky grow out process, but it can be done. It depends how much color's in the hair built up.
So
and
then
how
it almost
is the hair.
Has like an I know you're not into ombre, but it almost has like an ombre effect as it's growing out.
I don't mind ombre, but it's just that, you know, it's been done so much that we're so tired. It's like, I'm so tired of seeing more waves. I was just telling one of the stylists when I left the salon today, I said,
beachy waves.
I just can't look at it again. I'm loving straight, that sort of polished, more modern look than just everyone's doing beachy waves. Aren't you tired of it? I think it's enough.
I've never quite mastered it, so I'd want to get my head around it, and then I'll abandon it.
Well, let's talk about your hair a little bit then, can we?
Sure.
Okay, so you obviously get it colored and it's lovely, but what about styling? Like, it's just looking cool and like you, it's just cool and has texture.
Thank you. Well,
like, what do you do in the morning?
What length would we call that too?
I'm kind of mid-length. I don't consider myself a blonde, really.
Are you joking?
I think I'm a brunette because I was born brunette.
Oh my God, you have like blonde dysmorphia. No, you're blonde. You're very blonde.
That's hysterical. But
styling wise, are you like a wash and go kind of woman? I feel like maybe no.
I'm not. I have to. And I cannot do my hair the way they do it for me in the salon.
Even you can't.
No, it's impossible. Nobody can.
Okay. I feel better.
Every once in a blue moon, I see a client that can really do a great job blow drying their hair, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You are that dexterous. But for me, I have my little tools, my little props, and the things that I can't live without. And I cannot live right now. I'm obsessed with Virtue has this product called Split End Serum. Mm-hmm. And I just put little dabs of it around the hairline, all my fragile bits, and it kind of keeps it all healthy and smooth.
Are we talking, like, give me details here. Talking your damp out of the shower and you put that on the hairline.
Okay. I literally take little bits in my fingertips and I run it through anywhere that the hair is fragile. Could be
a lot of people have that hairline sort of not breakage or baby hair or whatever. Yes. And it helps smooth that down.
It just helps. It puts the elasticity back into the hair. So when hair is brittle and looks stiff and doesn't blow dry nicely, it puts back that elasticity so that it's like hair,
like
hair is supposed to be. So that's the Split End Serum. They also have this product called 6-in-1, which does a little bit more intense, will work for people. I don't use it because I feel like my hair is too thin for it, but probably it isn't, but I still don't use it. I live on that Split End Serum. Sally Hershberger has a root lift that she discontinued.
Oh, we just talked about my discontinued
Sally
Hershberger.
Man, I can't
tell
you.
Was this like the one with the crazy writing on
the pink one? Yeah. And I actually stockpile it on Amazon.
I buy Glam Waves foam on Amazon stock.
Hello, I should get this stuff for free. I buy it. I sent her a
picture. No, the mint green one is mine.
You know what? You have to, when you love
something. The Walgreens line that she did, right?
Yeah.
It's from that.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
me too.
It exists out there and it keeps getting more and more and more expensive.
I know. I literally just bought a bottle. It was $16. A bottle, it used to be $7.99.
I just want to know, like, how long can we keep this in our cabinets?
And where are these coming from? I'm scared right now, because it's been discontinued for a while.
Wow, I know.
What are we buying, Sharon?
Listen, and I buy Fred Brandt's BB cream, and I'm like addicted to that stuff. I'll die when they stop making that. Well, it has been stopped when whoever stockpiled it stopped selling it. There's just certain products that should never have been discontinued.
That's so funny.
Why did they do that to us?
We need to dig into this on a future episode because we talk about it all the time. Someone with their Tom Ford lipstick came on and they had shade that they were like, this was my shade.
And it discontinued?
Yeah, vanilla something or other. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, back to the hair.
Sally's Root Lift, the original line, but you could use her new and improved.
The gold one.
The gold one. I don't like it as much. I know it's good. I like the other stuff. It's like cement. It really is what it is. It works. And then I take, when I'm in a real bind and I know I'm running late, and I get up really early. I'm up at 5:15 in the morning.
Why
I'm
are you up so early?
I don't live in the city anymore.
Oh, okay.
Are there chickens that wake you up?
Chickens and roosters. No, I'm an hour out of the city, so I come in.
Good for you.
I'm here. Nice. I just kept my apartment in Tribeca, so I'm still here. But and then I take a little bit of Dr. Hauschka's rose, that body powder that they make. It's really fine. And I use it just a dusting amount, and I'll just go like this and into those areas that get oily.
Oh, you put it in your
day
hair.
Day two.
Once you're dry, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, on day two.
Day two, and it just kicks up limp hair.
Even with all those dry shampoos out there, you still use a body powder from Dr. Hauschka.
I've yet to find a dry shampoo that I don't feel is sticky, tacky, and leaves a residue in the hair.
Yeah, Jess has talked about this.
I'm
getting gritty. A big dry shampoo
gritty
person.
Is the right word. Yeah. It doesn't feel good. Hauschka's powder just absorbs into your hair. There's no telltale sign, and it does give you that lift, and it absorbs the oil.
Huh, good. Yeah.
Okay. They ought to turn it into a dry shampoo.
Ooh, look at these hot
Or
tips.
We just
look
did.
Oh, this is a business 101 mm-hmm. over here.
I know. That's going to be part of our line when we do our $300 yes. a month salon. Okay, let's talk non-hair products, because mm-hmm. you can't come on Fat Mascara and not share all your favorite
Your makeup is lovely.
Oh, thank you. All we do all day is talk non-hair products. All I do all day long with my clients is talk skincare and skin and dermatology.
It's the place for it, right?
That's all I care about.
Yeah. What are your skin tips?
Well,
we know you like the Brandt BB cream.
I love the Brandt BB cream. I love Creme de la Mer. And they have different incarnations. You can use
Are
anything.
You a soft cream girl?
I like their soft
you
cream.
You look like a soft cream girl.
It's funny. I discovered that I was using it and didn't realize. I thought I was using Creme de la Mer, but it's nice. It's not too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I even, for a while, was using their body cream on my face.
Oh.
And I mix it with a little BB cream because the BB cream is heavy. It's intense. So I dilute that. I love my favorite sunscreen
mm-hmm.
is Shade. It's such a good sunscreen.
Just SHAD.
It's amazing.
I don't know Shade.
Shade is really good, and I love to share. I'm a big I'm a girl. Like, I love to share good things. I found Shade and I love it. And it's a mineral sunscreen. It has a little color to it, and it just absorbs in your skin.
Is it one of those powder ones or lotion?
No, it's a cream. Like, it's a cream. A little pump. I love it.
But it's not a chemical sunscreen. It's like the physical blocker with the titanium dioxide
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to look into that.
You know, for years I would read that EWG, what's the safe sunscreen to use? And because I have kids and I care about all this stuff. And that finally broke down. And I used Kula and what I used Kula before it became Kula. You know, just on the market. And I went, oh, this is the one. But I have to say, I really love this product Shade. I think it does the trick. It's not heavy. And of course, Anthelios, which we've all used.
Mm-hmm,
and But to find the right sunscreen that doesn't make you feel white or oily.
Right.
So I like that for my skin. I like, there's another really great product out there that people don't know about called Ven Effect. Do you know Ven Effect?
Oh, the grape ladies.
It's really nice.
Yes.
And
yes.
A client gave it to me to try, and I put it away and didn't try it. Same with the Shade. A beauty editor gave it to me, and I put it away, never tried it, and said,
I just called it
so
the grape
good.
Lady. I did it a big disservice. That's not
it's,
a good
it's
description.
It's actually something to do with hormones. I don't really know what. Yeah.
And I wanted to backtrack, and I was like, I feel like there's some sort of menopause time, but I remember using it before menopause, and it was like, okay, we need to go on the blog and explain it better.
It's something that's nice, and it makes your skin luminous.
Venus Effect is what
Venus
it stands
effect?
For.
Is
that's
what it
I
is?
Think it is.
Yeah, it's really nice, and I mix that with the BB cream. Everything goes
You must get a lot of great tips from your clients because you get a lot of people in the beauty and fashion world sitting in your chairs.
And even non-beauty people, you know, if I see something good that I like, I'm always asking people. I'm always stopping people. If I see someone whose skin looks amazing or whatever, you want to know, I'm always asking people, who's your doctor? Who's your derm?
So who are some good doctors, some good derms? Can we spill?
Yeah, we can spill. I mean, Fred Brandt was my love of life, and of course we all miss him terribly. Mm-hmm. And after Fred, there was Rob Analek. I love Rob Analek. He's a great doctor, and he's very sensible. Annetta Resco is under the radar and fantastic. And
no longer under the radar.
She came out of Priya Liu's office, which was the skin check doctor. So she's very, very smart. Yale.
But you use her for cosmetic dermatology.
I use her for everything now because she's close to my salon. And my heart belongs to Rob Analek because I love him and I think he's genius and talented. But there's a whole crop and array of really great female derms, none of which I've used but I think are great, that I see their work. Alexiadis, Whitney Bow.
Mm-hmm.
When
Amy you say
Wexler,
their work, we should be clear here for people.
I see their faces. I see
like
women.
Meaning.
I see
your clients got injectables.
Yeah, I see natural
toxins
work.
And fillers.
I see good work. I see bad work, and I make mental notes on the bad work and mental notes on the good work. And the idea is we all want to age gracefully and look the best so that we look like ourselves.
God, and you see someone every like 4 weeks.
How do you
weeks?
Find out like, about bad work though? Like, how do you say who does your? Like, how
it comes
do you
out.
It just comes out naturally.
It does because. It's interesting when somebody's been to a derm and they're not happy, they will tell you. Or if they're bruised terribly, they'll talk about it.
Okay,
and they talk. I mean, people really download to me a lot.
Okay,
so I do hear a lot of interesting.
That's really interesting.
Which I keep private. You know, I'm very careful to never give away anyone's secrets. But I'm really impressed at how many great women derms there are out there right now.
That's
great.
Cool.
Yeah, there are so many. And I keep hearing new names all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and there's only one. There's just one name in the plastic, but in my book for plastic surgery, that I see the best work for, and that's David Rosenberg.
Oh, he's and you're all up in people's ears, and you see him so close up.
You see the scars. You see how they heal. You see the before. You see the after.
What is he known for?
He only does anything from above the neck, you know, shoulders, yeah. mm-hmm. face.
And noses, and eyelids,
eyes, eyebrow lifts, face lifts. His face lifts are so natural.
I didn't realize that you would be like the secret source. It's like yeah. before, like you're like the Yelp of plastic surgery because
from
you
the
see
neck
everything.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, from the neck up.
Yep.
Because and you're seeing it up close.
And over the years, I've made mental notes of who you'd never want to go to because people's hairlines are messed up and they have huge scars behind the ears.
But what do you mean their hairline is messed up?
You know,
up.
I've seen where people get...
Because if they have bad, like...
They miss. They're missing whole pieces, areas of hair.
Oh, like, where they tighten and then yeah. where they sew, yeah. sort of yeah. kind of try to hide it under your hair, but then yeah. you see it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, the idea is that we never need to go under the knife, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we all hope to make
oh,
it
no,
far.
I'm going
to
do it all.
But in the end, I don't know. I don't know. I think we succumb.
Jen is leading the charge against yes. anti-aging. I don't know if you you heard.
No, against. I'm liberating us all from the not even. Last week we spoke about Helen Mirren talking about not using the word anti-aging and how we should embrace aging gracefully. And I totally am in support, but then I'm like, no freaking way. When I'm going to get some work done.
We always all want to look. Until we live on that mountaintop where we don't see anybody and we don't care. We all care.
I don't right? care. If their mountaintop has a mirror, I'm getting my
you're
face
getting your face done.
I'm sorry I took us off topic there. But yeah, that's good to know that you would have all the... Of course you have all the tips on the skin stuff, too.
I think we all want to just always be our best. And I think we really do. We want it, whatever it is, whether it's a laser or it's an injection or it's... I mean, and it's minor. We're not talking about massive yeah. before and afters. Nobody wants that. And,
right.
And or if it's just simple hair color, because hair color can do exactly that. To me, I always say it's the least invasive way to make yourself look better.
Look younger.
And
I
look
mean,
younger, look fresher.
Yeah.
Look, you know, look like you've been at the beach in the middle of winter. And it's non-invasive and it really gives you, it goes a long way.
Gives you a lift.
Wait, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about makeup before you leave, but then it can tie back to hair color. If you have one of those hair colors, you got a new hair color and you just look washed out. Mm-hmm. And okay, maybe it's not necessarily hair
that's
color.
A big,
maybe it is.
That's big. Mm-hmm.
But like, what can you do makeup-wise? You're just like, something's off.
Yeah.
What do you think makes
the
biggest...
I've had that happen where I feel, but then, you know, I can articulate that I need to tone the hair color. But if you can't get to the colors to tone it, then you'll unfortunately need to get more powder, more blush. Definitely more blush.
And what blush do you like?
I love Tom Ford. It's called, I should know this off the top of my head because I recently ordered it. Oof, I have to get
Tom
back
Ford
to
blush. Okay.
It's a Tom Ford blush. I love Hourglass and I love Chanel. Chanel makes a dual lipstick lip gloss. So one side's clear, one side's the color.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I love mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. And I mix. Everything's mixed, really.
Well, you're an art person.
FX.
Cover FX?
Cover FX for, what do you call it, bronzer. Mm. I love that. Clay de Peau, of course, because there is
for
no
concealer.
There's just nothing else on the market like Clay yeah. de Peau.
You know the classics. These are beauty editor favorites you're naming.
Okay. Maybelline Brow Pencil. Just happened to stumble across it, and it's just cheap.
The classic
works,
one,
and
yeah.
it works.
The one that comes two for one.
The I love duo, the
I don't know if
ones?
It still does, but it used to be you'd get two pencils in one
twin really? Eyebrow pencils. Yeah,
yeah. Remember?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still the case.
I'm trying to think.
And mascara. What about mascara? Fat mascara.
Fat mascara. You know, I don't wear mascara.
What?
Those are your lashes?
No.
You get extensions.
That was great.
I know, it's my biggest addiction.
No, it's fine.
Where do you get them done? At your salon?
No. I used to do it here in the city, and then I found a place recently out of the city, so I'm loving it.
Name checker. Or yeah. you wear
it? No. Oh. It's called, I got it through a client, actually. It's called Posh. It's up in Darien, which is about 20 minutes from where I live in Connecticut. And but here in the city, there's a great girl for eyelash extension. Her name is Yuna. She's amazing.
Oh, I've heard of her.
Yuna's so special, mm-hmm. and I used to go see her, and she used to come to my apartment, and I love her. She's great. Yuna's great.
We also have to ask you about scents, but then I realized yeah. we've been burning this candle this whole time, and now I'm curious if you even like it. Do you burn candles at the salon?
We do.
This is, what do we have, Nest?
This is Nest.
Oh, I
this
love
is ocean mist and sea salt.
I know Nest.
Because I couldn't get to the beach enough this season.
It's feeling
that,
beachy.
Like, I needed to bring the beach to me.
What is that one fragrance?
What do you burn?
We burn in the salon. I'm not sure if it's that. I called home to my daughter to say, tell me what
but you
the
like
candle?
The, you use
I'll tell you, the, I can't remember. I can't pronounce this. It's that gold label.
Sarah Trudon?
Yes. Yeah. I love theirs. That,
yeah. that You the, do the mint one, I bet. It's called, this is my guess.
I don't know if it's mint.
Alcoff Deer.
I'm really specific on my fragrance, what I wear.
Okay. What do you wear?
I wear mostly if going out at night, and it's kind of my signature Eau de Soir by Sicily.
Oh, beautiful.
People stop me on that. You know when you find your fragrance? But I also, somebody gave me recently this great, what do you call those oils? The aromatherapy oils.
Yeah,
and
it's
this British company, and I love it. It's
Aromatherapy Associates?
It might be. I should look it up. I have their picture of what it is, and it's Revive. And
oh, it's Aromatherapy Associates.
Is that it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in a beautiful turquoise.
Talking to the pros.
You know, right?
Yeah.
That beautiful turquoise box.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I think it's so funny because, like Jen said, like, you really hit all of the classics. Like, you're not, I mean, there's some surprises. You've definitely hit us with some surprises, but you go for the, like, gold standard, blue chip, tried and tested. Like,
when you talk to 100 women and the same thing like, keeps coming up. Like,
you do not fail us. Like, you are, like, if you want great beauty advice, you should go to your salon.
This is so great. Yeah. And we're going to put on the blog some of the things that you mentioned. So we'll put the candle, too, that you talked about.
Yes,
we'll
get it after. Candle.
But thank you so much for coming to Fat Mascara.
Great taste.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Raise a wand. Yeah.
What do you guys think about little fatties?
We're still trying to think of, like, what to call our listeners, and you guys haven't given yourselves a name, but raise a wand to all of you.
Yeah.
I don't know about little fatties.
Nobody take that personally. I just love anything that's like...
little fatties.
Like, yeah, like, oh, it's a little fatty.
A little squishy fatty.
Little squishy, squishy. Yeah, no, but it's we are a body positive podcast, so, you know... Yeah, that's my iPhone.
Is Siri going to tell you what to raise a wand
Siri's
to?
Yeah, Siri's going to be like, that's a bad idea. here it goes. I want to raise a wand to my wax place. I found a wax place I love. It's called Wax Club in New York City. And it's on Chamber Street. It's not a chain. It's a one-off place. It's one of those places where you can go and you can pay like $100 and go in a million times. I don't do that. I just go once and like when as an as needed.
Wait, like a monthly unlimited waxing service? Who needs that?
A lot of people.
Okay.
Let's say you go bazillion, but you have hair that grows in like crazy, or you have a hair above your lip, or
you can pop back in whenever you want.
Yeah, It's a breezy.
What do you get waxed there?
I think that's quite personal, Jen.
It's fat mascara. Okay, we're not just talking brows though. Any part of the body you
any
want.
Any part of the body.
Okay. Yes. So they do a good job.
Well, yes. But the wax is this pink wax that it's very gentle. It wraps the hair, and it's really the most painless wax I've ever had.
Ooh.
And the woman who I saw yesterday was so freaking amazing, so lovely. Her name is Dora, and I just want to give her the shout out. And it's a lovely experience. Fresh, clean, consistently great service, no matter who I have. Just an awesome place and a fair price.
Nice. So if you're in New York, go to
Wax Club, Chamber Street. Make an appointment. They're booked a lot.
Okay. I'm going to raise a wand to wet brush.
Oh, that's a beautiful brush.
I have seen these floating around beauty closets and salons for a long time, the wet brush. Mm. Like, there's also another detangling one, whatever. I was like, why do you need a brush just for wet hair? I thought it was the silliest idea ever. Then the wet brush in Galaxy Voyager came into the office.
Gorgeous.
$9.99. So I was in solar eclipse mode, you know, last week, and it has this gorgeous galaxy print. So I was like, I'm just going to take it home because I like astronomy. And then I was like, oh, this is why everybody likes the wet brush. I don't know what it is about it. I think the cushion is much cushionier than a normal paddle brush. And I think the little bristles are a little softer. So I can detangle my hair after the shower and I don't even have to go from the ends up. Just so in case you guys didn't know that, the best way to detangle, you start at the ends. And once they're detangled, you move up to the mid-lengths. You start from the bottom, not from the root. Because normally if you start from the root and just start pulling down, you're just going to like yank in the knots and like get them settled in. Weirdly, with this brush, like, I feel like it's not going to get through all my hair, and it does, like magic.
I got to try that.
Plus, I really like the print on it. They also have other prints, too, but it, like, just looks cute in my bathroom. So, $10. Raise a wand to the wet brush.
Wet brush. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.